now, it's not about being jacked, really. It's about the activities of daily living being easy for a long time.
It's Evie here. Welcome to EML Radio, where we are always talking truth. All of those things you need to hear that nobody else is willing to say.
Like, you know, 75 Hard, when I did 75 Hard the first time with Amy, it was like Andy, when he first introduced it, we were in Arte at the time. And that 45 minute walk every morning has stuck to me years later as a habit.
Yep.
Right. That's a good daily habit that is very healthy for me to do. And it's stuck. And it positively serves my life at this point moving forward. It helps change my health.
Totally.
Right. And my health markers will reflect the fact that I walk every single day, just like yours would. Right. Yeah. And it would be like anything. You know, I'm 48 and I've trained for years. So therefore, I have reps in, like you. You got reps in. It's easier to keep your muscle because you got reps in.
Right. There's years of training. There's over a decade of constant, really. Yeah. I mean, I had to get to where I was really just heavy and bulky because it's like I couldn't, you know, I had to eat a shit ton of carbs in order to recover. And I mean, I had to put on, like, we would laugh. I weighed more than my husband at one point. He's not into the gym whatsoever. It's like, and then I got to go through that phase. And then I was like, okay, now that you got all this muscle, now we can start bringing your body fat down along with it. It's like there's decades in the making that went into that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's why you maintain.
It's exactly why. Like, I haven't had to really do anything. I'm actually working out much less.
Yeah.
And I'm overall much healthier and look and feel great. Sleep like a champ.
It's more about longevity in the gym. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to train for a long time because now it's not about being jacked, really. It's about the activities of daily living being easy for a long time.
Yep.
And still having... And I still want to look good, of course.
Oh, yeah,
and I like
absolutely.
Training as a hobby, but I'm not like you split your pursuit, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, if you can get into the longevity mindset, it does bring more intention to your eating, right? Because I want someone to have a health focus first. That's why I moved away from competitors. It just became more unhealthy for me to walk, not unhealthy for me, but more. Clear to me how unhealthy it was, even for people post contest, they struggle, you know, because they're very deadline focused. They do have a finish line. They're disciplined enough to be unsustainable for a season, you know, and hey, that's good for that age bracket. I'm just past that, you know.
Yep.
It's more about solving that riddle that people just have a hard time solving. And it's fun because people like that are very underserved, like I said, in our fitness community these days, right?
Totally. It's 100% why I ended up selling my gym. And it's like, I evolved because I questioned CrossFit. It was like, okay, I'm wrecking people and I don't want to wreck people. And I could see it after being in it for like 5 years. It was like, okay, I deepened my knowledge and understanding about what I was really doing to people. And I was like, and we were always a little higher level thinker. So it was like, I was never just this dipshit CrossFit gym that just makes you do 100 burpees a day you walk in when you're 70 yeah. pounds overweight. I knew better, but I evolved even. It's like, she doesn't need to box jump, just so you know.
Yeah.
Right? You can just picture that, right? Everybody's cheering them on. Do a box jump. It's like, how about you don't?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, then we evolved into an independent design where we customized all of our fitness program. We were one-on-one with people. I'm not in the gym with them, but we wrote everything for them, kind of like what you do online.
Yeah.
But I was so limited in how many people I could reach. And I love the fitness side of it, but I'm a writer. There's so much other stuff I do. And it's like, I'm a sociologist by, you know, training. And so I just love investigating people and what drives them and all those things. So the fitness side of it was kind of just almost like an aside for me. And we do have our Strong Start program and all these things that we do online. But I'm more interested in the mindset portion for people, right? Yeah. But when people are listening to this conversation and they're hearing you say, like, okay, like contest prep stuff versus like what people are doing now, because like you and I are both in this position where you're fighting an uphill battle against the fitness industry.
Right?
I have two questions there. For one, can you explain to people like when you're saying like, okay, contest prep, what their diet looks like versus someone just trying to live a good, healthy life, because they're sold even, and especially right now we're in January, right? Everybody's like, I got a diet. I have to do these things because that's what the fitness industry is putting in front of them.
So when I was a contest prep coach for all those years, I always had a mantra that says, we don't rebound. Right. And we didn't rebound. I work with 98% females for all these years. My competitors were 98% females. And it's because I was not one of those people that was doing hours of cardio, you know, and having to increase at every show because of the metabolic efficiency that was happening from doing more. You know, I was trying to make contest prep as sustainable as possible, knowing there's an element of unsustainability as you go through it, trying to make it as healthy as possible, knowing that it's potentially quite unhealthy to get that lean for certain less resilient metabolisms.
Got it.
Right. You can have one girl who goes through something pretty carefully and still is jacked afterwards, mm-hmm. where you can have some of these elite level competitors who have great genetic metabolic resiliency, who can pound themselves and be fine until, right. So I would still consider myself to be a really sustainable contest prep coach. If I compare it to the type of thinking I have now, it's that I see the journey as having two seasons, two required seasons, the season of change where the guardrails are tighter, the transition, which is both physiological and of course psychological, because they have to be able to do it without the safety net of the plan or the coach or the accountant. You know what I mean?
Right.
It really does have to be an identity shift at that point. Yep. It's just what I do. So I also don't believe that people can master intuitive eating without mastering precision eating first.
Got it. I just think
it's a lot easier because precision eating allows you to learn the visual. Like Amy likes to have clients use a photo journal sometimes as we're transitioning out of a diet and into you doing things on your own, because you start to learn the visual sizes of what's appropriate for you, because you've been measuring and doing that. And then you're connecting that, right. You're connecting that math, that amount,
oh, I
and
love
that visual
that. I
and
love
it's
that.
Correct. Right.
Yeah. So I think that's genius.
And I still believe that. And I know you'll be in line that, the reason why I like a tight season as well is because it will change you, right? If I can create accountability around these things, I have to be able to keep you in a controlled deficit and have as much control on the variables as possible, but also trickle in these things that'll help you on the other side, like learning to eat without a plan, for example, like going out for dinner, like managing December. We don't have anybody gain weight in December ever. Because we just approach
it right.
It doesn't mean that we're dieting through the holidays.
Right.
We calendar plot. We have a strategy for it, and it does require you do it.
Right.
No, but I think that people have to go through. It's like weighing food. You know, some people think, oh, they get all worked. I'm like, no, that's in a professional's tool bag,
right.
And you use it for a season. That's it. It's just a tool.
Yep.
We don't want to do it forever. Right. It's like when people are connecting their success to the wrong thing. Well, I went keto, so low carbs is what won for me. No, it was your deficit and your commitment and time.
Right.
Right. You just packaged it in the keto way.
Yep.
So I think depending on the client, I'm looser on some things. So I don't like IIFYM. I never have. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is it's not that it doesn't work. The physiology is fantastic. It's just math. But you'll connect your success to the numbers and the plan, and not to the discipline and the commitment and the not cheating. You know, you will do that. And all it does is increase decision-making, food focus, math. It's really substituting the clean eating prison for an Excel sheet.
Totally.
You know, or MyFitnessPal. So these are, I don't like any of those things. So I like to basically, you know, we require, I track, for example, dietary compliance in every check-in. So I know I treat this as a scientific experiment. Mm-hmm. I'm hypothesizing that this setup is going to produce this result. Mm-hmm. Before I can assess what's happened in these 2 weeks since I've seen you, I have to see how well you've been adhering to the main variable of fat loss here, which is your diet compliance. You know, if you're 100% compliant for these 2 weeks, then I can assess the plan.
Right.
If you're 60%, that's a different conversation, right?
Yep.
So I do like, even as I do with competitors, I tried to pull the things that I know worked with competitors into my, because I want efficient fat loss. People are dieting all the time, like it's a lifestyle. I want to get in, kill it, and get out. Why? Totally. Because the longer you diet, the more you run into adaptations and then dysfunction. So you need to understand, I expect you to be serious for this block of time. It won't last forever. You don't need to have wine 3 nights a week anymore. You've had enough wine already. You can say no for a while, and you need to say no to prove it to yourself that you can say no. So that's the show up for yourself part, right?
Yep.
So it is we more understand the personal development aspect of fat loss, mm-hmm. right? As opposed to in competition, it's let's manipulate your body for a block of time, right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, I can get someone in shape the same way with having more flexibility with what I'm teaching along the way, how to eat out and still be behaviorally on plan when you're technically off plan.
Right.
There's a difference, right? You can be technically off plan, but also behaviorally off plan. That's your bender.
Yes. Right?
you can be technically off plan, but behaviorally tight.
Right.
And that's the life right there. Right.
Well, I 100% agree that if people, because they can't, nobody can change something that they're not even aware of. Exactly. So the looking at your food, like I love the taking a picture diary of it, right? That's powerful. I'd never even thought about that, but that's genius because people can't change something if they have absolutely no even awareness about even what's going in. And most people are very disillusioned about what they're really consuming.
Yep. Yep. Oh, totally. That's the science. When they do the fat loss studies, people are under reporting how much they eat, you know why it is. It's also another reason why eating at set times is important, because snacking is unconscious grazing. You don't even remember that eating.
No, it's standing and making lunch for your kids. And I just ate 800 calories as I'm packing my kids' lunch. That was a big one. So I always would set people like, you have to be actually sitting down in order to eat, period.
Yep.
Like it sounds so trivial, but it's not. It's like, because you're actually going to be aware of what you're putting in your mouth if you're not just standing there munching through things and never eating from a package. It was like little things like that that are like build that awareness that people don't have.
Yep. Yep. So when I have someone who's in that position, I don't want them to make decisions then. So if you're going out for dinner and we're practicing it because it's what you do, decide in advance what you're not doing. Like if your date night includes alcohol, what is it not included? It includes how many drinks, one or two. Know in advance what it is. Yeah. Know that you're having an appetizer or you're not. Know that you're doing the dessert and not the appetizer. Know what you're not doing, because the no gets you the win, right? Emotionally.
That's
but good. It also keeps you safe overall. And therefore, you don't even have, and it's not stressful. You decided in advance like when you're in your good order
right? thinking. To be able to sit down and then not feel chill. Guilty. Yeah, afterwards.
Because now this is my new plan. Mm-hmm. And doing this is on plan, not off plan. So tomorrow I don't feel bad. I was on plan behaviorally.
Yep.
And this is how, and that's, if I can get someone to, and that builds confidence every time, right?
Of course it does.
You do that. And therefore, if you can pepper that in along the way, when you start to slowly pull away their plan, the confidence goes. So once I go get someone to go back up to maintenance calories, I'm at maintenance calories for a bit. I start to say, don't measure dinner. Mm-hmm. Behaviorally on plan for you. Okay, you're stable. Let's take another one out. Let's take another one out. And until they're doing it all themselves, it takes longer, but it's strategic. It's strategic, and you never can go off the rails when it's done in a step. It's done in a stepwise fashion, because ultimately I don't want you back as a client. Sorry. No offense. You know what I mean? Like that means we failed.
Yeah.
Right. You're back. What do you mean? I'll take you back, but you obviously didn't maintain. And we know that was your real goal. It wasn't to lose 25 pounds to regain it.
No.
So we didn't get it right. Right. So you have to be, and the problem also is most people don't understand the fact that it's not a backpack, that it's balloons, because they think I've lost my fat. I'm good to go. You're not good to go. This is the hardest part. You know, it's like money. Having money is not your goal.
Right,
it's like, what it does for you, the freedom, the choice, the opportunity. Losing fat's not your goal. That's your plow through the mud phase to get to your goal of living in the maintenance of fat loss.
Yep.
Two totally different things. But if you can't get someone's head around it, then you can't get them to, you can't, they're not thinking they need help then. They don't think they need help. You know, we know, I'm sure you know the post-diet stats, they're pathetic.
Oh,
most people regain their weight.
Yep.
So people, and it's the winners. The winners, the people who did see their goal through to the weight loss goal that are gaining weight. Never mind the people who quit along the way. So if the winners are losing, obviously this is where most of the help is required.
Right.
The coaching help is required in the transition to not needing a coach, not just to lose fat. So as a coaching, you have to educate clients on the fact that I need you to unlearn everything you think you know about this process. Right. And be an open slate because it's not working for you at this point. This is not your first time dieting at 48. I know it isn't.
Oh, gosh.
No. Right. Like,
yeah.
So it's crazy just how much more psychology and, you know, mindset and emotion is really involved in it because, I mean, it's just a cycle and everything is so interconnected. This is all the mindset stuff we talk about, but it also dramatically affects your physiology.
Yep.
Because your metabolism is your stress barometer. Right. So you're all jacked up, then you can't, nothing's working right. So it's, you know, it's a lot, I think it's a lot more fun because there's so much more involved in it. And when people, you know, people want more than just leaner bodies, they want to feel good about themselves.
Totally. Yep.
Right.
Get to a certain
and they just
age,
think it's the body.
I mean, it sounds so cliche, but I'm there. Right. It was like, yeah. I used to attach so much to my appearance and exactly what I look like. And I still love to look good, right? I take a huge amount of pride in my body, but it's more that my body is actually a representation of an outward representation of everything that's going on inside.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yep. It speaks, right? You can look at someone and know the level of like what's going on in them.
Yeah. Right?
You can.
Yeah. You don't, you're not, these are consequences, you know, getting in shape, but you see somebody who walks around in great shape, you know, they live a certain way because and if someone said, well, how do you know? Well, cause that's what happens when you do that a lot. You look like that.
Yeah. You look like that.
Or you look fit. You look fit if you do fit stuff a lot, you know, someone who's got a lot of weight issues. Well, I know you do a lot of stuff because that's what happens. You don't move a lot and you probably overeat.
Yep.
So, well, how would you know that? Because that's the outcome of that lifestyle.
Completely.
Right. Like you can't be like eating super tight and training a lot and being all clear, making good decisions and have that be the outcome.
No, it doesn't happen.
Exactly. So like you said, it's an inner work thing. It's inside out fat loss.
Yep.
Right.
So you're fighting that uphill battle so successfully though, and have for a really long time. That's what's so fascinating about you and really admirable about you because there's not very many people really. I mean, you've done it. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation was because like, I want people to hear this and even people in the fitness industry to hear it because like when you said you used to have these fights all the time and you would really like really argue about these things. And I think it's because you really genuinely care and you're passionate about what you know. Right. And I have this take that if you're in the fitness industry, you have a huge responsibility that you are taking on. That's like someone else's life. That's their health. There was a guy at the gym here. I had to join a gym. Now they're like, I sold mine. It's like, I bounced from gym to gym. Cause I'm like, it's like, I want to poke my eyeballs out when I'm in there. I usually have to mind my own business, but there was a young trainer, very well-intentioned, I'm sure. But he had this old guy, probably 70 something. I'm not kidding you, Eric. I counted. He probably taught him like about 10 different exercises in a matter of like 10 minutes. 99% of the shit the guy never needed to do, like walking lunges with a kettlebell. And the guy's like 72 years old. The guy you could tell was just like tuned out. But I'm going to record a podcast just on that. Like your trainer probably is not who you should be working with, right?
So it's a low barrier of entry.
Yeah. Well, it is, right? That industry it's very frustrating. And like being part of it, I feel like kind of weird to like, I'm not bashing it, but it has a low point of entry, a low barrier to entry, full of very, like scarcity mentality. They don't want to learn anything from anybody else because they think there's only so many clients. Well, there's 7 billion people in the world. There's enough for all of us to train, right? Yep. There's enough.
And you know what else? There. The other thing is the industry has attracted the business coach cancer that is luring new online trainers and coaches by the 6-figure in 90 days income, you know? So, you know, and what they do is when they're doing their marketing, I get it. You know, you're going to tell people the success. We would do it with before and after, let's say. They do it with the financial results. But the problem is, for me, is that your focus is too much on the money-making and not enough on the person you're helping. It's too transactional. And I think the business coach, there's some couple goods out there, I'm sure. I know there are, but a lot of them have come in here because that, I mean, especially in this lifestyle of COVID where personal trainers got hammered, right, for a while, it really is bringing in that charges NLP your clients into charging, into paying as much as you can get them to pay. I'm like, I'm sorry, your fitness coaching is not worth $2,000 a month. What are you doing? What could you possibly be doing for them?
Yep.
You know, that I'm not. What could you possibly be doing for them? You're ripping them off. It's not worth that money.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just because you can convince them and hit their objections because you've understood that kind of stuff, it just makes me sick. Honestly, I hate it. You know, I hate it. And they overcharge and they just get more expensive. And these people have to go into super debt to do it because they're just starting out. And I'm like, this is wrong. You know, like you need to be teaching them how to be good coaches, like how to get results, how to do all the right things and how to add value and add value and add value and take your time. You know what I mean? And then that's how, and because I expanded in 13 to hire on other coaches. Amy's, I think Pearls and Ways started in 11. We merged in 14. And then she's got Amy Leading Fitness coming out again. But like it was all word of mouth. You know, I was a 7-figure profit company without a penny on ad spend. You know what I mean? Like for years, you know what I mean? Like Amy had a memory come up on our Facebook. She's like, you know, when I bought an R8 right before we got married in 2013. She's like, look at that. 9 years ago, all these new people are talking. We've been doing this for all this time, right? But you know what it was? You did really well for your clients. You got results. You took care of them. And they told their friends.
Totally. Because you were doing what was right by people. And for me, I get it. How irritating.
You did what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. And you have someone's health in your hands.
Exactly.
Right. And it's beyond losing 20 pounds and reducing their pant size. Like a fucking monkey can do that. Right.
Exactly.
Can do that. But exactly. You have a responsibility to people because they trust you and you've made it work at the level that you've made it work because you do the right thing for people.
Well, we had a coach. This was a part of the issue with having a team and not being really a good leader and just thinking everybody was the same, basically. I mean, I wasn't a business person. I got good at something and started to make money at it. It's like having a good paying hobby, right? But we had someone on our team that we ended up finding out a few years ago was just not doing anything the way that we would do it. You know, like I would do it in terms of taking care of people. And, you know, she was jacking girls up. You know, they're rebounding, they're having hormone problems. We kept many of them on and had to fix them. And it's like, you are, it is not just about fat loss. You can be chasing fat loss, but you could be causing damage along the way. And it's like people doing the extreme approaches to fat loss that they get encouraged and motivated and the inspiration is going because the scale is moving and they're getting results. Maybe they're even ripped for their contest, but they don't realize, you know, there's like a little snake sneaking up behind them the whole way with consequences. There's consequences, you know what I mean? Coming. And they can't hear it because everything is going great. And all of a sudden all hell breaks loose and they wish they never competed in their life.
Yep.
I've seen that countless times. You know what I mean?
Of course.
It's just a crazy, you know, it's all crazy. It's a crazy industry.
But thankfully there's people like you out there that are doing the right thing. And
I think there's more good coaches these days too than there were back in the day.
That's what I think. And I have to tell myself that. And business-wise, like I've wanted to talk to you business-wise too, because this is the year that I'm going to set out. I've set a goal that each month I'm going to have an in-depth conversation with someone that knows something more than I do in an area that I need to learn more about. Nice. Like I'm a never-ending student. Like that's all I ever really want to do is learn. But I made the plan this year to actually have conversations with people in very specific areas that apply to my business. Because what happened to me is in a room with me at my facility, you know that I know my shit. When I sold that and then all of a sudden just put myself out there into the world online.
Yeah.
At this point, now I'm just a mid 40-year-old woman.
Sure.
How do you know I know what I'm doing? And so that was really humbling. Totally. Really humbling, right? To go from like, you guys have no idea how much I know, to having to just go, okay, you know what? Like, check your ego.
Totally.
Right? Yeah, that check your ego. And now I'm 3 years into building an online presence. And like I said, mine's different because it's not like I'm not fitness coaching people. It's like there's a whole other area. And part of me teaching you how to have a better life is you have to eat right and you have to move your body, right? Absolutely. Hence EML and Strong Start and those things that we do. But I could use advice from you, right? On like how to stay in the course and
I'll tell you, you know,
willing to ride it out, right? Because it's hard. It's like,
it is, you know, I think, you know, it's a lot different for me too. And I've had challenges too, you know. You know, it's been great having me to do it with Amy too. There's two of us then, right? And she's got a lot of ideas and things as well. But I think we both have observed there's a lot of change in the industry. It wasn't a marketplace. It wasn't an industry where, you know, it wasn't a platform for business like it is these days. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if you were good, you got found, right? It was not so hard to get found, you know what I mean? Because you could go viral really quickly. And Facebook is our main place, right? I've never been able to hit it on Instagram. Facebook is where we've always been. And it's a lot different now. There's more competition, of course. But I think now, because like I said earlier, for me, I think I just had a hobby that started to pay really well, but it wasn't treated as a business. And then I'm like, holy crap, I got to learn some of this business stuff and some of this other stuff, right? And one of the things that I learned, and I'm in the process of even still learning because there's just more of it, is that, you know, I'm not just a nutrition coach or a fitness coach or a trainer, and neither are you, right? Because then it's a race to the bottom. You know what I mean? Who's the cheapest? You know, you're a commodity, and that's all they see is you're buying a program from somebody and you're going to write it or you're going to write it. Right. And I think those coaches who are in that model are never going to really get it unless they get lucky. You know what I mean? Because there's too many of them. There's too many coaches that are just, my plan costs this. My plan costs this. I make it very clear that you're not buying a plan from me. You're hiring me as a person. Right. I'm a coach.
Right.
We work together. Right. There's more to this than those are just two ingredients.
Right.
Diet and training. So I think it really becomes more around, like for me personally, I was competitors, and then I got lost for a couple of years when I didn't know we were getting into personal development and more mindset stuff, and it was exciting.
Yeah.
Right. It's really exciting. That stuff's fun. Right. When it works. And
it does work.
But going from a hardcore, I'm a no BS or really hardcore brand like LBC, you know, polarizing and stuff like that, to mindset and no, okay, we don't work with competitors anymore. Well, who do we work with? We didn't even know. And we went through a lull there. And then I came back to this clarity around, hey, my clients have gotten older with me. These are their problems right now. Mm-hmm. Right. And I've just, with time, just happened, I understand that stuff, but just happened to get better at those things with experience, right? So it's my target person these days, for example, is always going to be someone who wants to look like they work out. That overrides everything. I want that statement to excite a prospective client. Is that you? Is that you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's me. Okay, let's talk, right? But it's also now, you know, more so niche towards that menopausal type of person. Like I had an article years ago called Metabolic Mind Games, right? It was on my site. It went everywhere for a while. Well, I'm going into the menopausal mind games area now. And that's really what it's going to be for me. That'll be my specialty. You know what I mean? I've moved away from a lot of one-on-one coaching about a year ago and moved into, I have a big training group, right? That opens every 3 months. And I love it because I love writing training programs and all this kind of stuff. But in terms of that, I think it's really a lot more about specifically solving a problem. You know what I mean? And knowing what it is and being able to talk to that person's, I was taught to talk to people like you're talking in your writing, to talk to someone like you're talking to one person.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
But it's definitely not, I think from a business standpoint, defining yourself as that type of coach, like, you know, and because I don't know, I'm just trying to, I'm kind of brain dumping as I answer this question, right? Because I'm still navigating this as well.
Yep.
In our end, we have a lot of longevity, you know? So when I did, I'm just saying this because I have a lot of grace in not having the urgency because I've been around for so long, right? I put up that one post, a couple posts about menopause and all this kind of stuff on my Facebook page. I must've got 30 applications for coaching from just that.
Cause it was really good. Like when I read it, I was like, oh God, he hit the nail on the head. And that's exactly the group of people that need help.
Exactly. And then I ended up accepting like 15 of them. Right. So, but I think it's also for me, I have the patient game to learn because most people have been following me for a long time, like 10, 12 years when I polled it. Right.
Yep.
But it's really, I think it's really a matter of just the people who do follow you or knowing what they like, but it's also knowing what I like, you know, what I like to do.
Yep.
Right. I like to do that. I know who that is. And that is going to come to me. And especially like you said, you mentioned the scarcity abundance mindset. That makes a difference too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, and if you're producing results, then your confidence to stay the course should be growing anyway. Right. When these clients are appreciating you and they're giving you good feedback and you just know what you're doing is working, you're helping. Man, I would never quit my job. When I got really upset with this explosion of business coaches last year, really upset. I posted about it quite a bit and I'm like, Amy, I want to go into this space. You know, you'll crush it with all this stuff that I couldn't do it without her, but let's go in here and undercut everybody. But the difference is we won't leave our bread and butter business because all these business coaches have left their fitness coaching business because why? It failed.
Totally. And now I'm going to teach you how to do something I failed at.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm not leaving this because I love it. You got into fitness coaching for money. That's why you quit. And that's why you're a business coach because now it's just about making money and the profits are larger. But your fitness coaching business failed. I'm not leaving that because I love it and I love the people that I work with. Right. So how could you? Right. So I think when you just have a passion for it, you know, you eventually, and you, like you said, you now have to learn more things than maybe we did 5 or 6 or 7 years ago because there's more competition and more strategy.
Yep.
But I think it still comes back down to knowing who you love to work with.
Well, see, and I know all those things. And when you said the word exactly that I am focusing on now in my business and across all my brands and everything we have going on is we need to have more people find us, right? You said it, people will find you because everyone now, and I have like my podcast for one, like my podcast really took off. Like we're getting 10, 11,000 downloads an episode, right? Right. Really amazing. And when I look at like, you see our stats, I've got people listening fucking all over the world.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all I ever wonder is like, I wonder who that person is. Like there's two people in like some country I've never heard of. I'm like, I wonder who they are.
Yeah.
But anyway, having allowing more people to find me because people that listen to me and people that subscribe to EML and are on my locals, they all say one thing. They're like, I am so happy that I found you.
Yeah.
So now I'm at this place where I got it figured out. I have the programs figured out. I have the coaches underneath me. We have all of it. Now it's a matter of like, how do I help more people find me?
I think you got to pick one platform.
Hmm. Yep.
Like we tried to.
I kind of moved off of Facebook and Instagram because for one, I'm not going to stop talking about things that are current events because they matter. Like none of the rest of this shit matters.
I think it helps business too.
Right. It shadow bans me, but people either love me or hate me, and they've always either loved me or hate me. And I don't really give a shit. Right. I'm like, okay, you don't have to like what I say, but it's funny that you're a hater, but you listen to me all the time. Right?
Yeah.
Like I must be striking a chord. And my people are people that are on Substack. They're people that are on Locals. They're people that will actually read articles. They don't just want to be entertained by a 30-second TikTok video.
Yeah. Like,
those are my people, but moving there is an uphill battle, right? I mean, those just aren't big enough platforms yet. That they will be.
Yeah.
And thankfully, financially, I don't need to worry about it. And so it's like, okay, I have the time to put in, except I can't help but want it to happen faster.
I think it's interesting actually, because, you know, we've been on Facebook for years and then Instagram happened, and Instagram for our business, it's huge for fitness too, but I think it's young fitness.
It is
young
fitness.
And it's the cheaper, it's the lower invest. It's what we talk about. It's the, hey, I'm a fitness coach. I sell diet plans. I've competed. So I'm a coach, you know, all these types of things. And whereas Facebook, again, going back to your clients or followers get older with you. Mm-hmm. Well, they're on Facebook, you know, and the people that I'm working with, I mean, they're also more in a better financial position too, in their 40s and 50s than they are in their 20s, likely.
Yep.
Right. So I still think it is a great platform for, it's definitely something that I've decided to just go more in on in terms of trying to split my stuff with Instagram and Facebook. But I've also observed, because a few years ago, we were early on the groups too. Right. So Amy had the idea, hey, we should do a Facebook group. It was way before groups became popular. Right. So we did really well in our Facebook group, but now I'm finding our group is kind of like, right. But our main page for a while, remember, main business pages were getting punked for like a long time now. And now our main page, which has got about 175,000 followers. I mean, it's huge. Our insights, our reach is 30 to 50,000 per post, you know, 500 likes. It's busier than Andy's page. You know, so now I'm back to thinking, okay, the main page is the place to be, but it's still the platform of Facebook. I don't think that it's really hard to be everywhere. I think, because the population's different in those places. You know, where are the people where are your people? Like, who are they? Right. They're probably on multiple social media platforms, but you know, they're definitely on one for sure. Yeah, right.
Like, absolutely.
And you're probably working with like people around your age and my age too, right? Like
there are some kind of outlier 30-year-olds, but most people that follow me are 40s, 50s, 60s, even into their 70s.
Wow. Right? Yeah.
They're like, you're an old soul. And so those people get me, right?
Yeah.
Even though they're 70, they're like, I still want to live every ounce of my life.
Yeah.
Every day of it, the shorter term I have left, living like the way you live by example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just taken us a couple of years to find those people, right? Because you don't know when I went from brick and mortar to like, here I am in live in the flesh to all of a sudden just, I'm just another face out there. It's hard stuff.
Yeah. I just lost a train of thought that you just popped in my head there, but I forgot it. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different industry than it was, but
bringing us full circle too. It's like, we could talk all day, bringing us full circle. I do have confidence and I have some glimmer of hope in seeing what people are waking up to now. It's taken way longer than I would have hoped it would have taken for people to understand that being healthy is the only way that we're going to get out of this fear mongering, fear ridden society that is like, I'm not leaving my house. There's some places that are, I don't think they're ever going to get it. I don't know where all this is going to end, but I do think that there's great opportunity in people seeing now that, like, if I want to be able to actually go do anything with my life. And the reality is that people that are dying are people that have high obesity rates, diabetes, or other compounding factors. That's just a fact. And that's coming out more and more and more. They tried to hide that, but it's out there now. Right?
Well, I was just going to say that. I mean, if you're a person, I was going to lead to that, you know, obesity is a major risk factor for COVID death, right?
Yep.
So if you are a person who is living in fear of the COVID narrative, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And you are overweight, well, there's some good motivation for you.
Totally. If there's
some good motivation for you to get healthy, because absolutely. If you're healthier, you'll be less at risk. You may still be scared, but you'll be less at risk.
Yep.
You know, because I mean, everyone said it, but honestly, do they ever talk about health? Do they ever talk about going for a walk? Do they ever talk about what you're eating? Do they ever talk about vitamin D? They don't talk about that. I actually checked this out. How much
money is in there? Zero. Oh my gosh. There's zero money in people going for a walk.
No, NAC, there's a supplement. So for example, NAC, N-acetylcysteine is a supplement that they're trying to, I don't even know if pulling it in the US yet, they're pulling it. But if you Google NAC, N-acetylcysteine in COVID, there is research on that as a therapeutic for COVID, right? So it's just an over-the-counter supplement that bodybuilders would use post-steroid cycle or during a steroid cycle for liver health, right? Uh-huh. And it's a precursor also to glutathione in the body. So, but they don't want any of this to get out, right? I mean, you don't have to take that. If you just kind of just started to live a little bit healthier, you would be a lot less at risk. But I think, you know, that's definitely something. Hey, you're really fair. I'm going to remind you that, you know, you're the one who's likely going to die here if you get sick. Maybe you should start to take your health a bit more seriously.
And I got to tell you, I mean,
where's that message?
I was the fool. Because when all of this first came out and the lockdowns first happened, I was like, okay, well, let's do something that's going to help all of humanity. It's not going to make us any money, but it'll build our awareness, people's awareness of us out there, and it'll do what's right by other people. So I wrote this really lengthy immune booster protocol and put it out there as like a lead magnet for free.
Yeah.
Eric, it is our single least downloaded information packet that I have ever written in 15 years of writing. The least downloaded. Are you fucking kidding me? We're in a pandemic. I'm going to give you this for free. And it's got some really great advice in here, very specific, and nobody downloaded it.
Wow.
Blew my mind. It pissed me off for like 3 months. I was like, you stupid fuckers. I spent like 3 days writing this thing and I'm going to give it to you for free in the middle of a pandemic and you don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even in Canada, I don't know what it was like down here. Well, not Florida, but where you were, but you know, liquor stores were open. Cannabis stores were open. Gyms were closed.
Yep.
You know, the government had paid Good Life, a large chain, you know, a few $100 million to remain closed. You know, and it's just like, and then, you know, we all know it, you know, the isolation, the everything is, I think, you know, you see, it's almost like they want you to just be a couch potato, you know, and just be at home and be relying on the rest of us bigwigs to take care of you, but we won't take care of you that well.
No, we all know. No, that
I don't know.
I know. I'm happy to be in Florida. At risk of sounding like some crazy conspiracy theorist, which I'm totally not. I mean, I'm a very objective thinker, and very open-minded.
Yep.
But where we're going is like, I don't know. I'm at the point where I really am starting to believe that there's some serious ulterior motive behind the scenes, because it doesn't make sense. Lock people in their homes, take them away from sunlight, exercise, socializing, it's the complete opposite of what needs to be happening for people to improve their health.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hate that term conspiracy theory. It's being used as a term of, I think it was put out there years ago for this very types of reason, you know, because half this crap ends up happening anyways, at some point, so many things that people called conspiracy theories last year happened.
This
past year, Andy's been saying it for a couple of years too, right? Like, he's like, you guys call me this and this. And like, I don't know. I think it's just cognitive dissonance, you know, where if there's obviously, you know, some crazy crap happening, you know, around the world and stuff like that and whatever, I'm not going to get into the depth of it, but yeah. I think, you know, it's hard for a lot of people and probably all of us at times to accept that it's happening. There's so much change that's happening. And if you looked at it in one lens, it creates a lot of extra fear, you know, whereas you can just go into denial and distraction as much as possible and just pretend it'll go away. I have a friend of mine still saying, yeah, man, I can't wait to do this and this and this. I'm like, are you crazy, bro? Like, I've been saying this to you for a year. It ain't happening. You're not doing that anymore. You know, like, unless you leave that place, you can't do that anymore. This is not rescinding.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I don't know, you know, who knows what the, you know, what the, what this year will be like, but in Canada right now, like, you know, Ontario, at least they're talking. I mean, it's, I just can't understand it. You see Ron DeSantis in Florida saying that passports are discrimination. And then you see, you know, these other places that are just the exact opposite. Like, and they're both smart people. Like, these are all intelligent people. So how can you have one person at this belief level and one person at this belief level, both of them be intelligent and be literally the exact opposites? Somebody's got to be lying here. Right. You know?
Like, someone's full of shit.
I don't believe the news. I mean, if I have to watch, if it's on mainstream news, Amy and I are like, you know, it's probably not the, there's probably a side truth to this one.
100%. That was one thing, you know, I went away back in September and got help for my drinking. And it was more than that. It was really like, it's a whole nother can of worms for another recording that we'll definitely do sometime. But all of the situation with my husband and at the hospital and, you know, risk of losing his, you know, his medical career over things I had said on social media. I mean, it was really, we had a really tumultuous year, like beyond.
Oh, I hear you. This, I have a drinking story too. So
it's like, we'll share them. So yeah. I had to go away and it was like less about that. It was like drinking was kind of just the outlet that I was using, but I really needed a hard reset. And I did it. I went away for like a whole entire month, got help, went through like some just childhood trauma stuff. And a lot of, it completely life-altering experience. I really came back someone completely different. And I'm so grateful. Like, I can't imagine that I would have shorted myself like this level of happiness and peace in my life had I not made the choice to go do that. Wow. But I've had some really tight parameters and boundaries since I've gotten back. And one of them is I haven't turned on the television to any news station since I came back in October. So we're like 3.5 months. It doesn't even go on. It can't go on in our home. I'm not a TV watcher anyway, but it was like, we would turn on even just like the 5 or something that makes light of things. I can't listen to it. It has no place in my life right now. There's a couple of like kind of more trusted, more neutral news sources that I use and I get them in my email. And beyond that, I have to tune it out.
Well, we actually went through a phase like that too, where for us, it was on social, you know, on Instagram or some of the sites that'll hit you with quick news, but it's constant and it's never good. So we, and Amy and I were like, unfollowed like 25 or 30 accounts.
Yep.
And, you know, there's the odd one that we'll follow, but it's ultimately our point was to ourselves was if it's important enough, we'll find out.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know these
small things that are not affecting it at all today. It's just upsetting me and I'm having a good day otherwise.
And how many times do you need to hear the same negative news over and over? Like, how many times do you need to hear that from how many different sources? That's a great note to even wrap things up on, is like for people to take away from this, like ways to improve their overall health, their overall mindset, right? Create whole new levels of overall wellness for themselves. That's a great place for them to start, right? Like being careful about what they're consuming, not just in their mouth, but in their mind.
One of our old coaches, his name is Craig Ballantyne. He said, use social media, but don't let it be used on you.
Oh, that's great.
Treat it as business media, you know, control your algorithm, you know, like unfollow. Just see what you want. It can be fantastic if you all get only personal development in your feed.
Oh, totally.
Right.
I mean, like, I use it. I love it because I get messages from people all over the world that let me know how much I'm helping them every day. Like that's important, powerful things.
Yes.
But I have to be really careful with it, not to dive in, because the end of last year I was diving in hard and I was like ready to kill everybody on there.
I mean, I was on the pulse too. And then you're just not getting anything done. You know, I mean, Amy came across something where she says, you know, there's a lot of like super high achievers. They don't watch any of it. They're just living their life. And it's like Amy. And like I said, in her cancer journey, she's still pounding ahead. She just walked into the gym. She's starting to train now, like got to keep doing my thing. That's going to push my life forward because this stuff is holding me back.
Yeah.
If I watch all the news, this is holding me back. It's distracting me. It's paralyzing me. It's causing fear. I'm not doing stuff that's helpful for me. I can't control it anyway.
It's completely outside your control.
I can't do it. What am I going to do? You know, like I have to surrender to that somehow.
Yep.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I have to always ask every guest to leave us with, I know I throw this on you. I don't tell anybody not to like throw you off your game because I just want it to be whatever comes to your mind. But like, if you could share one really important truth, something that you're living right now, a new truth to you, something that's important that you want our listeners to take away.
Well, you know, I'm a Christian, so I'm a believer, and I have a tattoo that says it's Romans 8:28, and Amy has the same one. My kids know the verse. It says, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the reason I say that is because I consider this a life hack. You know, it's like when Ed Milet says, life happens for you, not to you. Or Joyce Meyer says, you live life in forward, understand it in reverse. You know, you can go through this kind of stuff that we're going through at times, right? But over time, it does work out for our good. You know what I mean? It just does. And I think, you know, we've had a all over the place, you know, fun conversations, some in the fitness industry, some on current world events and stuff like that. And I think the pulse stuff is the world events. But, you know, I mean, life does happen for you, not to you. There's been a lot of blessings and gratitude and great things that have happened to us through this time as well. I'm sure. I mean, you could look, I mean, you look at you, look at what you just told me. If you didn't go through that, you wouldn't went through that and you wouldn't be where you're here now. Like there's a lot, you know, there's a lot. I mean, I have a whole bunch of stories around that too, but I really think it's even more that, because not everyone is a believer in that stuff in the Bible or whatever verses, but the life happens for you, not to you one. I think, you know, that's something I try to be mindful of, because, you know, trouble comes, you know, and it is what it is, but
yeah.
I try to keep myself open to the fact that this verse is something I believe is very true, which means if I'm going through some shit times, then at some point this storm is over.
Yep.
You know, so.
Love it.
Yeah.
I could go on for a couple more hours, but we won't.
No, that was a lot of
fun. We'll just do it again. We'll
Absolutely. Do it again. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you are just as awesome and inspiring and just motivating human as your wife, of which I already knew was going to be the case, but.
Oh no, I'm nothing. I mean, I can't keep up with her. Yeah. I tell her, I'm like, I can't keep
up. You're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Awesome. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for rounding out my week in such a great place.
I know it was fun. I love fun.
It was so fun. We'll definitely do it again.